Mr. President, yesterday the Senate took further steps to reauthorize the Patriot Act without the fundamental checks and balances that so many of us believe are needed. To bring us back to first principles, I read aloud the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And to remind us of the broad bipartisan support for amending the Patriot Act that exists all over this country, I read each of the 8 statewide resolutions that have passed in the last few years expressing concerns about the Patriot Act. I also read a few of the nearly 400 local resolutions that have passed, and the ones I read were 4 resolutions from all over my own state of Wisconsin. Today I want to continue by reading some additional items to take my colleagues back to how hard we fought in November and December to stop this flawed conference report and how many Americans really did want us to do better than we have done this week. Let me start with a few editorials. The resolutions passed by state and city governments that I read here on the floor yesterday are not the only way by which Americans have expressed their concerns about the Patriot Act. The 4th estate has weighed in too, with many newspapers running editorials or columns criticizing the Patriot Act's effect on Americans' freedoms. And not just a few newspapers, Mr. President, but dozens and dozens from all across the United States, from major national newspapers to small local newspapers, papers in big cities and small towns, all concerned about the erosion of civil liberties under the Patriot Act. And I'm going to read just a few of the representative editorials. First, from the Orlando Sentinel on August 17, 2005, headlined, "Fighting the Terrorists, Our Position, Patriot Act Changes Need to Be Tough But protect against Abuse of Power." The U.S. House and Senate have taken different approaches to renewing the USA Patriot Act, the sweeping anti-terrorism law that otherwise would expire at year's end. The Senate's more thoughtful bipartisan approach deserves to prevail when members begin meeting next month to reconcile their competing proposals. The House proposal leaves the Patriot Act's expanded surveillance and law enforcement powers largely intact. It does not accommodate legitimate concerns raised by both liberals and conservatives about inadequate checks on those powers. The Senate proposal, passed unanimously, includes what Judiciary Chairman Arlen Specter called, quote, responsible changes to safeguard civil liberties, unquote. It would continue to let the government obtain secret court orders to seize medical, financial, library, and other records, but only records tied to suspected terrorists or spies or people in contact with them. It would require the government to notify targets of secret search warrants after 7 days, though a judge could extend that deadline. Also under the Senate proposal, 2 of the most controversial Patriot Act provisions, to seize records secretly and conduct roving wiretaps, would expire in 2009 unless renewed. That would encourage Congress to reevaluate those provisions in 4 years. The Senate proposal would not stop the government from using the powers in the Patriot Act to go after terrorists, but its changes would better protect ordinary Americans from possible abuse of those powers. Next, Mr. President, the Los Angeles Times editorial from November 21, 2005, entitled "Checks on the Patriot Act." The Patriot Act, a 4-year-old federal law that gives investigators unprecedented power to search for and chase terrorists, is a case study in bad lawmaking. Angry and anxious to respond to the atrocities of 9/11, Congress hastily approved a measure that exposed an indeterminable number of Americans to unreasonable searches and intrusive snooping for the sake of the war on terror. The law provided few of the legal system's usual checks to protect against investigators abusing the new capabilities. The measure eventually generated outrage on both sides of the political spectrum, as well as from corporations, libraries, and retailers forced to report secretly on the activities of employees and customers. Nevertheless, in their haste to wrap up business before the Thanksgiving recess, lawmakers were poised last week to reauthorize the Patriot Act, which is due to expire at the end of the year with only minor changes. That was the outcome sought by the White House and its allies in the House. A bipartisan group of 6 senators stopped the bill, however, by threatening a filibuster. They demanded that House and Senate negotiators produce a reauthorization bill with more of the safeguards that the Senate had approved earlier this year. The senators' demands are modest, recognizing that law enforcement agencies do need enhanced powers to battle elusive and technologically sophisticated groups of terrorists. But the public also needs to be able to review how these powers have been used, and people need more assurance that the information vacuumed up by their government is actually connected to a suspected terrorist or spy. In particular, the bill should do away with the automatic permanent gag orders that allow investigators to hide forever their demands for records from banks, libraries, doctors, and other sources. And the most controversial provisions of the Patriot Act should be extended for a much shorter period than the 7 years suggested by the House and Senate conferees. When Congress approved the Patriot Act, it put its trust in prosecutors and investigators to use their expanded powers responsibly. It now appears that trust was misplaced. Authorities have gone on a snooping frenzy since 2001, issuing more than 30,000 secret demands for records per year, according to the Washington Post. And unless the law has changed, no one will ever know whether those records should have been gathered or what has been done with them. Americans want to trust their government. It is their government's foundation, its system of checks and balances that enables that trust. Well, Mr. President, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, entitled "True Patriots, Some in Congress Won't Let Terror Limit Freedom," from November 30, 2005. Long before the 9/11 terrorist attacks and the so-called Patriot Act that was passed in reaction and fear, a man with a stellar patriotic credentials who championed the cause of liberty had words of wisdom for his fellow Americans that they can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety, deserve neither liberty nor safety. What Benjamin Franklin said in his own day remains a telling commentary for our time. Indeed, these words could have been written specifically about the Patriot Act, which went too far in trying to accomplish a legitimate goal to remove some of the bureaucratic and legal barriers that stood in the way of hunting down terrorists. But increasing government power while decreasing judicial oversight was a troubling exercise in a free country, and Congress realized as much when it passed the Patriot Act, including sunset provisions that could be considered in calmer days. That time has come, and plenty of true patriots have stood up and offered suggestions that would make the Patriot Act more respectful of civil liberties and the American ideal of freedom. This is one issue that provides common ground for liberals and conservatives. When government has the power to search a suspect's premises without his knowledge and can retrieve personal business and library records of people without showing any connection to terrorism, then the alarms that go up are for Americans regardless of party. That is why, for example, former Republican Representative Bob Barr, the scourge of President Clinton, finds himself on the same side of the fight as the American Civil Liberties Union. Despite the bipartisan qualms about reauthorizing the Patriot Act without proper amendment, the Bush administration has not been sympathetic. "Trust us," it says implicitly. But because paranoia animates policy for this White House, the use of the Patriot Act is bound to go too far and impinge on basic civil liberties. This is an administration, after all, that feels threatened when John McCain and others want to outlaw torture. Sadly, ordinary Americans can't naively trust their freedom to such hands. The Patriot Act needs to have reasonable checks and balances written into it. Of the two bills to reauthorize the Act, the Senate version accomplishes this better than the House measure. A tentative agreement has been reached on reconciling these bills, but principled opposition remains. 6 senators, 3 Republicans, and 3 Democrats have emerged to resist accepting a version of the Patriot Act that doesn't meet their legitimate concerns. This isn't about being pro-terror, but pro-American. It is possible to keep essential liberty and obtain safety. For Americans to deserve both, the true patriots on Capitol Hill need support. Mr. President, now from the New York Times, just recently, on February 11, 2006, entitled "Another Cave-In on the Patriot Act." Patriot Act has been one of the few issues on which Congress has shown backbone lately. Last year, it refused to renew expiring parts of the Act until greater civil liberties protections were added. But key members of the Senate have now caved, agreeing to renew these provisions in exchange for only minimal improvements. At a time when the public is growing increasingly concerned about the lawlessness of the Bush administration's domestic spying, the Senate should insist that any reauthorization agreement do more to protect Americans against improper secret searches. When the Patriot Act was passed after September 11, 2001, Congress made some of its most far-reaching provisions temporary so it would be able to reconsider them later on. Those provisions were set to expire last December, but Congress agreed to a very short extension so greater civil liberties protections could be added. This week, 4 key Republican senators, later backed by 2 Democrats, said that they had agreed to a deal with the White House. It is one that does little to protect Americans from government invasions of their privacy. One of the most troubling aspects of the Patriot Act is the gag order imposed by Section 215, which prohibits anyone holding financial, medical, or other private records of ordinary Americans from saying anything when the government issues a subpoena for those records. That means that a person whose records are being taken and whose privacy is being invaded has no way to know about the subpoena and no way to challenge it. Rather than removing this gag order, the deal keeps it in place for a full year, too long for Americans to wait to learn that the government is spying on them. Even after a year, someone holding such records would have to meet an exceedingly high standard to get the gag order lifted. It is not clear that this change has much value at all. The compromise also fails to address another problem with Section 215. It lets the government go on fishing expeditions, spying on Americans with no connection to terrorism or foreign powers. The act should require the government, in order to get a subpoena, to show that there is a connection between the information it is seeking and a terrorist or a spy. But the deal would allow subpoenas in instances when there are reasonable grounds for simply believing that information is relevant to a terrorism investigation. Now that is an extremely low bar. One of the most well-publicized objections to the Patriot Act is the fact that it allows the government to issue national security letters, an extremely broad investigative tool to libraries, forcing them to turn over their patrons' internet records. The wording of the compromise is unclear. If it actually says that national security letters cannot be used to get internet records from libraries, that would be an improvement, but it is not clear that it does. In late December, it looked as if there was a bipartisan agreement or interest in the Senate for changing the worst Patriot Act provisions and standing up for Americans' privacy rights. Now the hope of making the needed improvements has faded considerably. Mr. President, clearly the Patriot Act has touched a nerve and has continued to do so for 4 years now. While I support a very strong fight against terrorism, we cannot and need not sacrifice our citizens' basic liberties in that fight. To do so would weaken this country. Mr. President, next I want to turn back to just a few of the Patriot Act resolutions. It was not just state and city governments that passed resolutions these past several years. Colleges and universities across the United States have become actively involved in the Patriot Act debate as well. Across the country, 53 resolutions have passed on 44 campuses, advocating for substantial changes to the Patriot Act to protect the civil liberties of the American people. From Mount Holyoke, a small private all-women's liberal arts school in South Hadley, Massachusetts, to the University of Texas at Austin, one of the largest public universities in the United States, students and faculties alike are coming together to pass these resolutions. Resolutions have been passed on college campuses in states from California to Kentucky. I'll now read just a few of these campus resolutions. A resolution concerning the protection of students' civil rights in the wake of the passage of the USA Patriot Act, University of Texas at Austin student government. Whereas the United States Congress passed the Uniting and Strengthening America by providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism act, USA Patriot Act, Public Law 10756, on October 25, 2001, championed by U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, whereas the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights establishes, one, that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Two, whereas according to Mayor Pro Tem Jackie Goodman's Austin City Council resolution regarding the Patriot Act, fundamental rights granted by the United States Constitution are threatened by actions taken at the federal level, notably by passage of certain sections of the USA Patriot Act, other acts and executive orders which, among other things, grant potential unchecked powers to the Attorney General and the U.S. Secretary of State to designate legal domestic groups as terrorist organizations by overly broad definitions and implying restrictions to constitutionally protect First Amendment rights of speech and assembly by reference, such as political advocacy or the practice of religion, while lifting administrative regulations on covert surveillance counterintelligence operations, violate the First and Fourth Amendments to the Constitution through the expansion of the government's ability to wiretap telephones, monitor email communications, survey medical, financial, and student records, and secretly enter homes and offices without customary administrative oversight or without showing probable cause, give law enforcement expanded authority to obtain library records and prohibit librarians from informing patrons of monitoring or information requests, violate the Fifth, Sixth, and Fourteenth Amendments to the Constitution in establishing secret military tribunals, and in subjecting citizens and non-citizens to indefinite detention without being allowed an attorney, without being brought to trial, and without even being charged with a crime, authorize eavesdropping on confidential communications between lawyers and their clients in federal custody. Whereas in the October 1997 edition of Global Issues, available as Volume 2, Number 4 of the USIA Electronic Journal, then Senator John Ashcroft wrote in an article entitled "Keep Big Brother's Hands Off the Internet," the FBI wants access to decode, digest, and discuss financial transactions, personal email, and proprietary information sent abroad, all in the name of national security. This proposed policy raises obvious concerns about Americans' privacy. The protections of the Fourth Amendment are clear. The right to protection from unlawful searches is an indivisible American value. 200 years of court decisions have stood in defense of this fundamental right. The state's interest in crime fighting should never vitiate the Citizens' Bill of Rights. The Clinton administration's interest in all email is a wholly unhealthy precedent. The administration's interest in all email is a wholly unhealthy precedent, especially given this administration's track record in FBI files and IRS snooping. Every medium by which people communicate can be subject to exploitation by those with illegal intentions. Nevertheless, this is no reason to hand Big Brother the keys to unlock our email diaries, open our ATM records, read our medical records, or translate our international communications. Whereas Eva Poole, president of the Texas Library Association, the oldest and largest organization representing Texas libraries, including university and academic libraries, stated in a personal email by request, "The USA Patriot Act is just one of several troubling policies that compromise the public's privacy rights. Enhanced surveillance powers permitted under the provisions of the Act license law enforcement officials to peer into Americans' most private reading, research, and communications. Several of the Act's provisions not only violate the privacy and confidentiality rights of those using public libraries, but take no consideration of constitutional checks and balances, as it authorizes intelligence agencies to gather information in situations that may be completely unconnected to a potential criminal proceeding. Librarians do not know how the USA Patriot Act and related measures have been implied in libraries because the gag order bars individuals from making that information public. Equally troubling is the fact that librarians are not allowed to comment on FBI visits to examine library users' internet surfing and book borrowing habits. I oppose any use of governmental power to suppress the free and open exchange of knowledge and information. Whereas the student governments of the University of California at Berkeley and Santa Barbara, University of Alaska Fairbanks, University of Washington, Washington State University, University of Wisconsin, and Southern Oregon University have passed resolutions denouncing the USA Patriot Act. Therefore, be it resolved that the student government at the University of Texas at Austin has been and remains absolutely committed to the protection of civil rights and civil liberties for all of its students and affirms its commitment to embody democracy and to embrace, defend, and uphold the inalienable rights and fundamental liberties granted to students under the United States and Texas constitutions. Be it further resolved that the student government at the University of Texas at Austin firmly calls upon the Austin Police Department, University of Texas Police Department, Federal Bureau of Investigation, and Joint Terrorism Task Force to refrain from and in certain cases discontinue the surveillance of individuals, groups of individuals, and organizations based solely on their participation in activities protected by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, such as political advocacy or the practice of a religion without reasonable and particularized suspicion of criminal conduct unrelated to the activity protected by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Be it further resolved, the student government respectfully requests that Dr. Fred Heath, Vice Provost of General Libraries, direct all UT libraries to post in a prominent place within the library a notice as follows, quote, warning, under Section 215 of the Federal USA Patriot Act, Public Law 10756, records of books and other materials you borrow from this library may be obtained by federal agents. This law also prohibits librarians from informing you if records about you have been obtained by federal agents. Questions about this policy should be directed to Attorney General John Ashcroft, Department of Justice, Washington, D.C., 20530. Be it further resolved that the student government of the University of Texas at Austin commits to organizing a forum addressing student privacy concerns, consisting of a panel of relevant administrators and community members. Be it further resolved that the student government at the University of Texas at Austin firmly calls upon UTPD to preserve and uphold students' freedom of speech, assembly, association and privacy, the right to counsel and due process in judicial proceedings, and protection from unreasonable searches and seizures, even if requested to do otherwise in accordance with new federal law, which infringes upon such rights granted to federal and state law enforcement agencies under powers assumed by the USA Patriot Act by executive order. Be it further resolved that the student government of the University of Texas at Austin calls upon the Austin City Council to do everything in its power to protect and defend the rights and liberties of University of Texas at Austin students who reside within the jurisdiction of the City of Austin. Mr. President, now a resolution affirming civil rights and liberties in light of the USA Patriot Act from the Associated Students of Mount Holyoke College. Whereas Mount Holyoke College has a diverse student and faculty body, including many students from outside the United States and many students with diverse cultural backgrounds whose contributions to this community are vital to the culture and civic character of Mount Holyoke College, and whereas the preservation of civil rights and civil liberties is a pillar of American society and is essential to the well-being of any democracy, particularly during times of conflict when such rights and liberties, especially those of immigrants and ethnic minorities, may be threatened intentionally or unintentionally, whereas the preservation of civil rights and liberties is essential to the well-being of a democratic society, and whereas the community of Mount Holyoke College denounces terrorism and acknowledges that federal, state, and local governments have a responsibility to protect the public from terrorist attacks in a rational, deliberative, and lawful fashion to ensure that any new security measure enhances public safety without impairing constitutional rights or infringing upon civil liberties, and whereas Mount Holyoke College is a private institution, as a private institution, is also responsible to protect its community, including all faculty, staff, and students, whether they be residents or non-residents, and whereas the United States Congress passed the Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism Act, USA Patriot Act, Public Law 10756, on October 26, 2001, and whereas some provisions of the USA Patriot Act and other related federal orders and measures may pose a threat to the civil rights and civil liberties of all students, staff, and faculty at Mount Holyoke College, including natural citizens of the United States, and particularly, but not limited to, those who are of Middle Eastern, Muslim, or South Asian by descent, by A, reducing judicial supervision of telephone and internet surveillance, B, expanding the government's power to conduct secret searches without warrant, C, granting power to the Secretary of State to designate domestic groups, including political and religious groups, as terrorist, quote, terrorist organizations, unquote, D, granting power to the Attorney General to subject non-citizens to indefinite detention or deportation even if they have not committed a crime, E, granting the Federal Bureau of Investigation access to sensitive medical, mental health, financial, and educational records about individuals without having to show evidence of a crime, F, granting the FBI the power to compel libraries and bookstores to produce circulation or book purchase records of their patrons, and forbidding disclosure that such records have been requested and produced, and whereas law enforcement and security measures that undermine fundamental constitutional rights do irreparable damage to the American institutions and values of equal justice and freedom that the students and staff and faculty of Mount Holyoke College hold dear, and whereas the Senate of the Associated Students of Mount Holyoke College believes there is not and need not be conflict between the security and preservation of, between security and the preservation of liberty, and that students of Mount Holyoke College can maintain their privacy and be both safe and free, be it resolved by the Senate of the Associated Students of Mount Holyoke College that the SGA Senate supports the fundamental, constitutionally protected civil rights and civil liberties of all members of Mount Holyoke College, and that the SGA Senate opposes those measures that infringe upon civil rights and liberties or that single out individuals for legal scrutiny or enforcement activity based solely on their country of origin, religion, ethnicity, or immigration status, and that the SGA Senate urges all students, staff, and faculty of Mount Holyoke College to respect the civil rights and civil liberties of all members of this community, regardless of citizenship or heritage, and that the SGA Senate urges the Mount Holyoke College Department of Public Safety and all other applicable departments, except when required by law, to refrain from A, utilizing race, religion, ethnicity, or national origin as a factor in selecting which individuals to subject to investigative activities, except when seeking to apprehend a specific suspect whose race, religion, ethnicity, or national origin is part of the description of the suspect, B, participating in a joint search of the property or residence with any law enforcement agency absent the assurance that simultaneous notice of the execution of a search warrant to such member of Mount Holyoke College, C, any practice of stopping drivers or pedestrians for the purpose of scrutinizing their identification documents without particularized suspicion of criminal activity, and that the SGA urges the Mount Holyoke College Department of Public Safety not to subject any individual to the custody of the South Hadley Police Department, who may be placed in federal custody to military detention, secret immigration proceedings, or detention without access to counsel, and that the SGA Senate urges the Mount Holyoke College Administration to provide notice to all individuals whose education records have been obtained by law enforcement agents pursuant to Section 507 of the USA Patriot Act, disclosure of educational records. Mr. President, I also wish to submit for the record the resolution passed by the United Council of Students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Without objection.
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, every day children across this country learn about the role of their government and how it's intended to function. I have also collected a handful of textbooks used by children from elementary school up through high school to see what they have to say about the role of government. And looking at these books, I noticed that each of them, at different reading levels, discuss the government as a whole, the importance of the Constitution as the foundation of our government, and the importance of checks and balances and separation of powers. Each of these books, at whatever learning level or reading level, each of these books teaches that the government does not have endless, unchecked powers over the people it is intended to protect. I started my presentation after cloture was invoked by reading the Constitution of the United States. I'd like to conclude just for now by reading a very brief portion of one of these books. It's called National Government, A Kid's Guide. Separation of powers. The people who wrote the United States Constitution wanted to make sure that the leaders of the government did not have too much power. The writers spread the power among three separate branches of government that work together to govern the country. This is called separation of powers. The executive branch is led by the President of the United States. This part of the government is responsible for making sure the laws are carried out or executed. The legislative branch is made up of the people in the Senate and the House of Representatives. Together, the Senate and the House of Representatives are called the United States Congress. The legislative branch makes the laws. The third branch is the judicial branch, which is led by the Supreme Court. The judges, called justices of the Supreme Court, explain the laws and decide if any laws are not fair. Each branch of the government has its own job to do, but the three branches have to work together. The people who wrote the Constitution were very careful to make sure that each branch of the government could check up on the others. A system called checks and balances keeps different parts of the government from having too much power.